March 16th, 17th. Connecticut State Championships. Lease and performance training. 38 Car Street Derby, Connecticut. Achieve your dreams. Last week we talked about the women. This week we're talking about men. Are there any updates that need to be happened before we get into this?
Well
not a
played.
classics not, actually it's that much last week. This is not a classic meet.
No, this I will last week I made a mistake. I had on one sheet written down someone who had changed meets, but I hadn't updated on one other thing. So Anya in the 67.5 class, we didn't talk about last time. I feel like a dick. Anya will be in competing on Saturday morning with the women. She is at the top of that class right now. So that was the only one we missed from last week. There hasn't been a lot of change or updates. We're going to talk about the men. As I just said to you guys, I went through every men's number and left it at the gym. And this is 9:15 at night, so people need to know that we are recording fairly late. So we're going to do some of this by memory. We'll look up some as we go. But I wanted to get it going and not have to waste more time.
So in terms of just for, I guess, spectators and people watching, what is the breakdown in terms of who's going when throughout the day? Or like women going first, then men on Saturday, yep, then men on Sunday?
So open women are Saturday morning. Open men are Saturday afternoon. And then age groups are going to be Sunday morning. So by age groups, I mean, we've got masters, teens, and juniors competing at the same time. So Sunday, the weight classes are all over the place. It's men and women, but it's the age group. So the open was prioritized for this, as most lifters here are in the open. If they did two divisions, the open was still prioritized. That's why that's Saturday. We lately on our meets have been doing women in the afternoon and men in the morning. And that's an unusual thing. We've been asked a lot of questions about that. We did it once just because men always get to go in the afternoon. Women never do. So I flipped it so they could deal with it. And no matter what, we always get complaints. I don't want to lift in the morning. I don't want to weigh in the afternoon. I don't really care. I can't make everyone happy. So it is what it is. We saw on our end, the meet went faster, which I thought was kind of weird. So we tried it again the next time and it went faster again. I talked to everybody and the spotters and loaders agreed that like the afternoon session is easier when it's the women. You know, not trying to be mean to the women, but a strong woman's going to load three reds and change. A strong man's going to load five reds and change. So it's just an easier loading. So if you have to load the heavier stuff in the afternoon, our spotters and loaders are a little bit more tired. So by having them in the morning and then having the easier stuff in the afternoon, they were able to go faster. So that's what we've been doing for the last probably six, seven meets. We're not doing that in this one. And that's mostly because of what we're going to talk about today, the 100 kilo men's class. There's 12 100 kilo guys competing in the open. There's a couple in the age groups too, but there's 12 in the open. All these guys are good lifters. I really wanted to kind of highlight them, and I figured the women are more likely to stay for the men than the men are to stay for the women. Yes, men, that is a shot at you, so figure that out. But that's why we put the men in the afternoon this time, so hopefully we could have a bigger crowd for those men too. That's not trying to take a shot at the women, but it's an interesting class having 12 of these guys competing, of all of which are going to put up like very good numbers. So that was more of the focus. That's also not a shot at the other guys competing in this meet, but the other classes are much smaller. The other classes, I think the next biggest class, we've got the 75s and the 110s, which are four each. So it's, you know, a bunch of classes that are below four and then the 100 kilo men, that's 12. So that was kind of the focus of Saturday afternoon.
Are there, I guess this just the smallest side. I don't remember when exactly they shifted these weight classes to accommodate for different. Before, I remember the most popular weight classes was 83 and 105. Right. Are we seeing this a same trend here, or is it more dispersed now?
I think it was 83. 93 was probably was more.
Yeah.
83 was big. 93, I think, was big. Some of those change, the classes didn't change a ton. I mean, 83 went down to 82.5. So that's a, it's almost a nothing change. 93 went to 90 or 100. I would generally say that I think in most of our meets, 82.5 and 90 is the most popular class for men. But like I said, in this class, like, I mean, if you add in the age groups, we've got 14 in the hundreds, which is a lot, which is fairly rare. But I mean, if you look at the 82.5s, we've got 8. So that's, you know, between everybody. And for the 90s, which is probably the next, it's like 1, 2, 3. There's 6 90s. So, I mean, that's, I think those are the fairly common ones. This one's a little bit weird that we have 6 75s as well. We've a couple 67.5s, 160. The weird one here, I think, is that we have only one 125 in the open, 3 overall. We have no 140s and no 140 pluses. There's no heavyweights and super heavyweights in this meet, which is weird. Like, it's a smaller size meet overall. I said, like, even though we have got good numbers, we're like up to close to 80 lifters. Like, there's really, there's only between the men and the women total, I think, 2 super heavies, and there's only, and there's 0 heavyweights. There's no hundreds for the women. There's no 140s for the men, and there's only 2 100 pluses and no 140 pluses for the 200 pluses for the women and none for the 140 pluses for the men. So it's like a size wise is like a smaller meet, which I think is a little bit uncommon.
It's a smaller class. I mean,
competitive. You know, there's less 140s overall than there's going to be, but like to have 0 is kind of weird. But again, I think the 100 might be a little bit more of a common class than it used to. Like the 105, I think it was more like 93. But 100 goes up to 220. So I think that gives a little bit more range. I think that's why that's probably a bigger class now. 105 probably used to be a little bit smaller, but I don't know that for sure. I could probably look it up. But I think from, at least on our end, I think it was more 83, 93. So it looks like those 93s just probably shifted up a little bit. Instead of cutting, they either stayed or went up a little bit. Which probably
would you like
sense.
A 140? I'll sign up today.
I mean, you could be the state champion.
Yeah.
What if you lifted and did commentary at the same time?
I am down.
We could hot mic you. probably go terribly.
It was just a bunch of wheezing.
Heavy breathing ensues.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, I know we have a lot of women could be, I don't know who's competing in the men, and I'm sorry for the GPT members. I don't know.
For team GPT members, we've got a lot of people competing overall. For the men, I think I'm reading right down the list, so I don't think I'm going to miss anyone. We've got David Kiernan. Let's see. List is a little out of order. Mark Doherty, Trevor Sheehan, Kyle Guisto, Storm, Bayou, Dan, where am I? I read one wrong. Christian Terrazona. Juan is sort of a team GPT former, but moved. So we'll count him, I guess. Tom Lador, Devin Clark, John Carlson. We refer to Tate as being a team GP stepchild. So we'll throw him in. I made fun of him today because he's doing bench only. So I said I'd talk about him tonight, but he's actually doing bench only with the women's class. Because he's doing bench only, and it allows him to judge in the afternoon and help out with the men. So he's going to lift in the morning with the women. And maybe he'll hit a bench PR, maybe he won't. This is me just being a jerk because Tate and I are friends. I won't do that to all of you, but Tate, you know, you don't have a butt to come off the bench, Tate, so don't worry about it. Your butt will be fine. Who am I missing? Men, where are we? Zach Kurtz, Evan Talanos, Luke Strong is a GPT member when he's home from school. Right, he's coached by Jake Karbowski for Hammer Forge Strength. Esteban Reyes, and that should be everybody.
Holy crap.
It's a lot. Like all of our coaches are going to be coaching at some point. A ton of our lifters are lifting, so it's a big day for us. But there's a lot of other lifters. It's not like it's not. Our first day meet years ago was, I think, like 60% our gym. Now it's much. I mean, there's still a good number, but it's like a third. So it's growing on the other side of things. Our team is still growing, but it's the sport's growing outside of that, so that's good. I just worked a 12-hour shift, so I'm a little spacey. I'm a little like all over the place. And I'm laughing because I like keep making faces and shit. And Jill was telling me that she never watches the YouTube. She just listens to it. So when I make jokes like this, she doesn't get it. You know, and I'm like, ooh. And it's like, well.
I mean, look, just generally not a lot of people watch the YouTube channel. A lot yeah, of good stuff on there. You know, we are a hit on Spotify, though. So, you know, hit us up on Spotify.
Hit us up.
Brian, who you got?
For my coaching?
Yeah.
So for the men, I have two that are competing in that 100-kilo class. So I have Devin and Tom. So that'll be a good one. That I'm excited for to be a part of that. I competed in that class last year, so it's cool to now like come back and coach. And it's coaching against a lot of people we know. So it's cool. A lot of them are like pretty close in total. A lot of their lifts are pretty close. So it's going to be, kind of exciting and a good, competitive atmosphere as long as, Ryan doesn't get violent, I guess, in the back room and, yeah, fun.
I do what I do to win.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I got to Tony Harding someone, someone's going down.
Yeah,
I was just about to say the same thing, except I think we're dating ourselves with that reference now.
Yeah, there's like a crap load of people are not going to understand that.
We got a lot of young members that are like, who the hell is Tanya Harding? She's not on Instagram. I'm like, there's a
no
reason
clue.
For that.
Right.
I mean, a member did walk in the other night and there was a wrench on the floor and offered to Tanya Harding everyone else that wasn't on our team. So no one got it but us, but it's all right.
Cool. I guess I think we've been pretty vocal on the fact that we're excited to see the 100-kilo class just because it's very competitive. And there's just a whole bunch of 100-kilo men competing this time. Is there anything in particular that you're sort of looking forward to in this like open men's section versus do we have anyone competing on Sunday in like the aged groups?
For the team we do. The team we have Zach and Evan, I think, and Esteban are the only, let's see, Zach, Evan, yeah, those are the only three on Sunday. Zach just joined the gym. Evan, I've been coaching for a while, and Esteban's coached by Cyrus, so they're going to both be on Saturday, but I think that, or on Sunday, sorry, on Sunday. But I think that's it from, and Billy Ellers just joined the gym too. I forgot about him. So Billy just joined. He'll be Sunday morning too. So I say join because like we have athletes at the gym that aren't coached by us. So we still consider them a part of the team. But it's a little bit different because they might not list themselves as our team because they have a different coach. That's fine. But we still support them because they do come to the gym. I guess I'll try to run down like how we did the other day with the women and maybe we'll get back to the 100 men a little bit more at the end.
Sure, yeah.
Since I left all the damn numbers of the gym, maybe that'll give us time to look up some of the hundreds. But like starting with the open, we've got one guy in the 67 class, Anthony. So it's a little, you know, it's tough when it's just yourself. So you're just kind of competing with yourself, but that's okay. 75s, we got four in the open, Braden, Adrian, David, and Kevin. That should be a good class. You're going to see you're going to see a few 75s there that are going to, you know, bench over three, squat over five, deadlift over five, like as 165-pound guys, like it's pretty damn good. You know, a couple of them are coming up from the junior class too, so they're fairly young. I feel like I'm rushing through this one more, but The 82 and a half class, we've got Steven, Alex, and Tommy. Steven hasn't competed in a little while. I know him a little bit more, so I can talk a little bit more intelligently about him. Steven's coming off, coming back from having his first child. So congrats, Steven. He decided to go up a weight class because he said those, you know, a little bit tougher to lose some weight when you're a dad. So he should, that should be a good class too. Those three guys are all good lifters. So that rounds out flight C on Saturday. So it's a fairly small flight. It's only eight guys. Flight D is the 90s and weirdly the 110s and 125 because I said we're keeping the 100s together. So the 90s, we've got three lifters, Justin, Andre, and Wes. Wes is hasn't competed in a while, but he's pretty much the big favorite there. Like I said, we're not trying to do picks, but I mean, if you look at numbers, it's pretty obvious his numbers are much higher.
Are we doing a best lifter overall lifter too? Are we doing that for this year?
We will do a best lifter by dots for men and women.
He's probably a favorite.
Wes has got to be up there with probably Antonio.
Yeah.
And so I think for the men, it's probably those two pushing each other. I don't think there's anyone else that's going to be that close. But those two should be pushing for best lifters, so that should be fun too. Another interesting weird battle is the 110s. So we've got Scott, Mark, Trevor, and Antonio. And like I said, Antonio is going to be probably up around that 500 dots mark. So he's going to be looking for best lifter. But the next three guys are within 2.5 kilos of each other.
Yeah, it's a lot and,
of yeah, like, and some of you that, like, you know, if depending on who's actually listening, there's some people that have been saying stuff to me, talking some shit. So if you're like, I haven't talked shit, it means they're talking shit about you. So there are some people talking shit to each other that want to beat each other. Some people that want to, you know, that want to try to win or place, but they're just like, there's also like mini side battles going on. I don't mind picking on these two because they both come to the gym, but Mark and Trevor, I think they're like Trevor's highest total is based on a weight class above. So he's coming back down to the 110. So their two totals in the same weight class, I think, are within 2.5 kilos of each other. And Scott's is the same thing. So those three are actually going to battle for second place against Antonio. So even though Antonio will be ahead by a lot, it'll be fun for those three going for second place. That should be fun. Plus, we can just talk shit to the two of them. 125 is a little bit weird. Just Kyle. He's the only one in that class this time. But Kyle, I know, is also trying to qualify for nationals. So he's going to be trying to put up a total to get him into nationals. So that's going to be his important thing there over competition for the day, since he doesn't have any. But that's okay. I'm going to skip the hundreds for now. We'll come back. So on Sunday with the age groups, we've got Ryan in the 60s. He's by himself. He just did a meet recently at the gym. So he's going to put up, he's strong 60 kilo teenager. Billy's going to be competing at 67.5. Same thing. It'll be by himself. 75 junior, Chris, and then 75 teen Carter. Same thing. They're not going up against each other. So it's just going to be, trying to build their totals and have the best meet they can. 82 and a half. We've got a little bit more, Zach is 82 and a half junior, so he'll be by himself. And then Greg will be an 82 and a half master by himself. So those are, again, like a little tough. You're trying to build your total. Zach competed pretty recently. It's a little, like I said, it's a little bit weird when you're by yourself. They'll be trying to build totals and see what they can put up. But then the 82 and a half teens, there are three guys. So there's Sean, Evan, and John. So those three will be going up against each other. I've been coaching Evan now for a few years. This is like his like break this year, I guess, because he's gone to nationals the last couple of years, but he's in college now, so it's a little bit harder working around scheduling. So he's going to do this one, and then we'll see from there. In the 90s, we've got two guys, two 90 kilo teenagers going against each other, Ben and Luke. Ben is a little bit younger, so it's a little bit tougher. Like, that's the weird thing with the teen class is, like, usually at the national level, you'll see it broken down as teen one, teen two, teen three. So teen three is 18, 19, teen two is 16, 17, and teen one is 14, 15. They count 13 as youth. Luke is 18 or 19, and I think Ben is like 14 or 15. So it's a little bit different. Like, putting those guys up in the teen class together, since it's a, you know, states are still a local meet, it's smaller, to break them up by teen, teen one, teen two, you would have zero competition for those guys. So we're putting them together, but, you know, Luke's got a decent advantage being that much older. But this is something we talk about too, is like, maybe for next year, we might run a separate meet for age group championships, to really try to push the teenagers, the juniors, and the masters into the meet more. And if we can do that, then maybe we can do, you know, like M1, M2, M3, M4, teen 1, 2, 3, and then juniors. Like, that'd be cool, I think, to build that into a full-size meet too. So we would have an open-only championship and then an age group-only championship. That's kind of my goal for next year, hopefully. I'm rambling. 100-kilo class, we've got Bruce in the Masters. Bruce is probably going to dots in that 400 range as a Masters, which is pretty cool. It's good. He was going to put up big numbers. He did the meet recently too. Esteban is a 100 teen. He trains with us. He's moving up a weight class. I hope he hears this. I think he didn't realize that he was 15 pounds over the weight class the other day. He's like, I'm going to cut. I'm like, the hell you are. So he moved up to 100. He was supposed to be a 90. But so he would have been normally competing with Luke and Ben, but he's not making 90. Julio is a 110 junior. Julio did a meet in our place like a year ago. He's going to put up a big number. He should total, I think, over 700 keys as a 110 junior. That's a big number. Ron is an M1, 125. I think Ron's also listed as an adaptive athlete. So he's gets to fit into both classes. Ron should put up some pretty big numbers. He's technically by himself because Kevin will be coming down from New York. Kevin usually just says push pull. So they're both 125 masters, but they won't be competing necessarily against each other since it's push pull and full meet. So I feel like I did a much worse job than I did for the women because I lost all the numbers at the gym. But, you know, come out to the meet, watch the meet, watch on YouTube, come see it in live, cheer for the people. It'll be better. Don't listen to me. But the 100-kilo class is, like I said, this is, you know, I'm not trying to take away from the other lifters, but the cool part is the competition here. So I said we have 12 guys. We've got Shay, Storm, Dan, Christian, Juan, Josh, Tom, Harrison, Devin, John, Kevin, and Victor. So we got 12 guys. Quick look at, like, some of their previous numbers and training, what I can try to remember off the top of my head. All these guys should be hitting dots in that 4+ range, which is pretty cool. We should have several guys that are probably going to be pushing that 450 dots. So that's even better. And it's going to be interesting because, like, some of these guys, what their totals are on, because we know a bunch of these guys. Like, we're not everyone, but we know a decent amount of this group, and it's going to be interesting because some of their totals that are listed on either the USAPL database or Open Powerlifting, because some of these guys have switched over, their numbers online are not indicative of what they're going to put up. Some of these guys are going to put up really big meet PRs. Some of them are posting fake numbers because they're little liars. Devin. You know, Devin does a great job of making sure every video he films, the plates are not in sight. So who knows what Devin's lifting? It might be one red. It might be five reds. Who knows?
One red, but yeah.
It better not be one red for him. Otherwise, it's a bad day. And some guys post everything and some guys post nothing. So it should be interesting there. But yeah, like I said, there's we've been talking about this class for a little while. There's a few guys like, we've got 1, 2, 3. There's like six or seven guys, six, seven guys that are like, are going to be close to like pushing like a 600 pound squat in the 100-kilo class. That's pretty cool. We'll have another, let's see, one, two, probably three, benching over 400. So that should be pretty cool. I don't think I'm missing anyone on the bench. We have a bunch of guys. I don't think there's anyone here pulling like under mid fives. But we got a bunch that are going to be pulling mid sixes and a few that could be pulling mid sevens. So that's going to be cool. So it's this kind of meet where, like, I've been saying to people for a little while, is that like you could be in first place going into deadlift and end up in fifth place. Or you could miss one lift and go from first to fifth, like without even having a chance. So I think that's going to be kind of cool. And again, a lot of these guys are guys that know each other, that are coached by the same team, but coached, you know, against each other. And then a lot of these guys have done a bunch of meets at our place. So I'm like, you know, it's going to be fun kind of going against each other. And I think it's going to be one of those situations where like Gino's going to be announcing, you know, this poll is to jump into first place. The next guy's going to come up and be like, this poll is to jump into first place. And that might happen 5-6 times in a row. Which is really cool. That's something that you don't really see at those local meets. And that's what we talked about last time with the women in a couple of classes, like the 60 in particular, is that you don't see a lot of these like real battles at local meets. It's usually only at bigger meets. And even at like at regionals, you don't always see it. So to have 12 guys that are all going to put up like, you know, 400 plus dots and maybe six of those are going to be like in the 450 plus range. It's really cool. And I hope it's like, I hope there's some gamesmanship at the end and coaches are playing with numbers and something that you never really see at local meets. And I hope people are putting in fake numbers and changing them. And I don't have a direct horse in this race, so I'm just going to fuck with everybody because I can. I think it'll be fun. Like I said, and like I'm going to promote my guy here as I'm scratching my arms to look like I'm flexing. But Brian, get back in this group next year, okay?
Yeah, I mean,
and maybe show some guys how to bench next year.
Exactly.
I mean, at this point, no, I can't. No, I mean, I there was like maybe a thought of doing it, but I mean, I don't personally like coaching and lifting in the same meet. But I mean, at this point, like I'm pretty low on this list. I mean, there's a lot of like this class has gotten really big, and I think there's people that I didn't know, you know, were in this class or would be competing that are like totaling way higher than me, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it makes you want to get back into competing with it, especially since it's my class and it's like directly related to me, but. I think I'm excited for Devin and Tom to have big meets and be represented in this class. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think like, do you still have the state record in the bench for that class? Or do we lose it?
I think I probably lost it. Let's find out.
It might be Harrison now.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, he might have it. I mean, I think you're right. Like, I think for a little while it was like a 400 bench. Maybe a while ago was competitive, just in the state for it. But like, there's a lot of guys that are going to be pushing that now. So
yeah, like I said, I think yours was 413, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and like I said, there's three guys in this flight that might go above that.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of times that you've competed in the local level that anyone's outbenched you.
Right.
And like I said, there's three that would push. That's kind of cool. And like I said, the fact that we might see a couple 700 pound plus, we're going to see a few 700s.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we might see a few even bigger numbers thrown up to go for the win. We talked to some of these guys, and before the QTs went up, it was the thought was for some of these guys was, listen, I really want to qualify for nationals. And of this group, there was, I think, like six or seven that were very capable of qualifying. When the numbers went up, that changed a little bit. So I don't think there's many people that are thinking about qualifying for next year right now. They're more thinking of like, let's win this meet. which again, we talked about last time, is something that is really left off at local meets. A lot of times we talk about, like, you know, it's you competing with yourself, which is great. Like, you know, you want to get better, you want to PR, but sometimes it's cool to see like what it's like to actually compete and try to like beat somebody, you know, and use that gamesmanship of like, there's a couple examples I think of, like this past weekend with the Arnold, one of the equip lifters, Jared Daquin, who's, very strong. His opening deadlift he put in was 75 kilos. And no one, I think, thought that was real, but I think it was just like some games, you know, and he ended up opening like more like 275 instead of 75. And Jared came in second to Jared Martin. And as I'm like, it's like, that's cool. And I don't think like, I mean, I don't think, like I said, I don't think people were looking at it being like, oh, this is where he's going to actually open. But now it's kind of like, well, what is he going to open with? What is he going to do? So like that's cool to see those changes. And then I know, like, also in the open, in the Arnold, our friend Zach Cooper was coaching, Kira Wilson. Like, he played the numbers where like he put in, I forget the exact number, but he put in a big third deadlift for Kira to have the person that was trying to beat her like have to chase her. So they pushed that lifter to probably try something that was a little bit above their ability, and then they dropped that number back down and took what they needed to get for the win. And like I said, you don't really see that at local meets. You see that at the Arnold. You see that at Nationals, but that's about it. And like this one, I think you're going to see that, and that's going to be kind of cool. So maybe, and like I said, maybe we'll see a little bit of that gamesmanship, but maybe people will put in numbers and, you know, change their deadlift attempts and maybe change them twice and see if they can get someone to make a mistake. I think that's what, like, again, something that's kind of lost in the idea of like you're competing with yourself is that like, I might be able to get someone to make a mistake by putting in a number that they're like, oh man, if he hits this, I have to hit this to be able to stay in it. So you push them to do something that maybe they're not truly capable of. And then you can adjust. I think that's cool. And again, because all these guys are in the same weight class, like body weight's going to matter. Like if someone's a little bit lighter, now you only have to tie. You don't have to win. You have to tie to win. You don't have to go ahead. That matters. And one thing that I've talked to a few people about this week is like lot number. So a lot of people don't understand lot number. It's randomly generated before the meet. By flight. So those guys in that flight will have lot numbers in the same realm. But the higher lot number gets the deadlift after if you're lifting the same weight. So that's another big one where like if two guys put in 300 keys, but I have the higher lot number, I get to see what you do first. So now if you miss and I only have to hit 300 to win, I've already got 300 on the bar, I can do it. But if you hit 300 and I need 305 to win, now I can change it. So lot number is a nice benefit, but it's all randomly generated. And the body weight thing, like, it's nice if to have it, but like, it's not something that you want to necessarily cut to try to get it. You know, you don't want to like, but this is one of those things, like if you are a little bit lighter, could be beneficial. And then like I said, then going back to like the videos and people posting stuff, it's a little bit interesting because like, you know, most people I think nowadays are posting all their stuff on Instagram and it's not hidden. It's not like, you know, it's right there. You can find it if you want. I think the top level lifters are not doing that, especially as they get closer to meets because they don't want their competition to know. But this is where, like you said, even a little bit of gamesmanship there comes into play of like, you know, by making sure the plates aren't visible or not posting your actual numbers. Or maybe posting your second to last set where you look like you absolutely annihilate everything. You're like, oh man, that was like, oh God. And it's like, well, nah, it wasn't even really that heavy. But you start to get in your opponent's head. I think that's something that is fun. And we had talked about maybe trying to do a little bit more for this meet with that. And it's just a little bit difficult, but like, you know, maybe next year we'll try to push these guys to get online. And they did a little bit of tagging each other and talking a little shit. And I think that's fun. Maybe we'll try to blow it up a little bit more next year and have like a little round table of them just talking shit to each other. And we'll push them to do more. But no, like I said, I mean, like I'm pretty excited. Not just like the Hunter class is obviously the cool one because it's so big. But I want everyone to know, like, that's not, I'm not downplaying any of these other classes. Like I said, watching that 110 battle for second is going to be cool. Like most people wouldn't think that, like, but it's, that's going to be a cool battle. The 75 is about some of these guys putting up like 165 lifter. That's like at a local meet going to put up like into the fives on squat. Like that's pretty sick. And then I said, we've got some teenagers in this group that are fucking strong. So I'm pretty happy with how this meet has turned out so far, even though it hasn't happened yet. Hopefully everyone lives well, so it doesn't suck. But I think us putting this like pretty high qualifier in this year has really kind of helped out. It made the meet a lot smaller than last year. Last year, I think we had another 40 people. But this, to me, feels more like a state championship instead of just another local meet with a state championship name to it. And we've already talked a little bit about like, how do we do this for next year? And like on my drive home, I was thinking like, do we just up the dots and make it a higher qualifier next year or next year? Now that people kind of know, do we invite the top five of every weight class? Cause like that could be cool too. Cause like I said, some of these weight classes don't have any competition. But if we say, hey, the top five of everyone, top three,
got him.
That's it.
Game over.
I got an idea to make next year more competitive. My idea? Relegation. All right. If you don't win, get out of here. You're no longer allowed to compete at a championship level meet.
Yes.
You go back to state or go back to a local meet.
Banned from the whole federation.
From the whole federation. That's it. Go to a different federation. I mean, I guess I do have a question for you, Brian, in the sense that I know as a coach, you're like excited to see like the competition of like, oh, two people sort of battling it out for position. Mm-hmm. I guess as an athlete, I've never been in this situation because at local meets, there's not a lot of when I was competing, 120s competing. So like, I know I was placing it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a situation where like, oh, like I have to compete for a position, and if so, like how did like work? Would did that like adjust your lift at all or your day?
Like competing against someone directly?
Yeah,
it didn't happen often. I think actually like it happened with Devin, who I'm coaching at this meet. Like that's really it. And it was, I think our numbers were close and we didn't call any different numbers or anything, but it was like, I don't know, going back and forth and he's going to bench this, I'm going to try to bench that. But it wasn't really like this. This is why it's cooler. It's more competitive and we don't know everybody. So there are some secrets.
I don't know. I guess there's a part of me that's, because obviously, I don't know if you're feeling the same way, but I'm seeing this come up of, you know, the quality of like the meets we've been doing. And I remember when we first did like a GPT meet on the turf in the back mm-hmm. quarter with like six people.
Yep.
Like, I'm like, I haven't been in a while, but I'm like, I'm itching to come back. Like, I'm like, oh man, like,
yeah.
I'm seeing it happen. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm excited for this meet coming up. It's going to be a long 2 days. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spotting's going to suck, but it always sucks. Right.
Well, I mean, spotting enough, but spotting, commentating, and competing for you is going to be rough.
It's going to be rough, you know, in gear. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's going to be a wild time.
Cool. I guess, I mean, Ryan lost internet. So that's why for those who are watching, he's frozen. Those who are listening, don't hear him anymore.
We can do a pause and then cut back in when we get him back if we want.
Yeah, we'll do a split cut. We'll fade into some music.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey,
your face was happened. A really angry thing, but now we lost it.
We talked about how we should implement a relegation system for all meets now. If you come in last, you're not allowed to compete anymore.
So that was after I lost. So I don't know. What did you hear from? I was talking about like how to do next year and everything. Did you hear any of that?
You started talking about how next year, either increasing DOTS qualifiers, getting top five.
Okay, so at least you got that done.
And I was just like, yo, relegation, right?
I get like this is getting a little bit off topic, but it's something I've talked about, which I would love to see, is something along the lines of like how our stepping stone idea of going up the ladder. So I would love to see at the local level, like you have to, you have a local level meets are for everybody, but state level meets would have a qualifier. I thought about doing like a percentage of the qualifier for nationals because it is going to be a qualifier for nationals, but I think that's a little bit tough because per state you're going to get, at some states you might get a ton of people that can qualify like that. In smaller states, you're going to struggle. So I'm not sure if that's the right way to do it. I don't know what the best way to do it is. But what I would kind of like to see is like, once you qualify for like a state championship level, that maybe some of these local meets you're like competing as a guest. So you're not beating like lower level lifters. And then you kind of work your way up. So like, let's say that states is a 65% qualifier of nationals and regionals is an 80% qualifier. Then once you qualify for regionals, you can't compete at the state level or local level and win. You'd be competing as a guest. So you can still do the meets. Obviously your total still counts, but you're not going in with someone like who's got a kilo, 100 kilos less than you and just wiping the floor. You're trying to kind of level up, right? And once you level up, that you can come down for fun, but you can't you can't be like a level 20 fighter and come down and fight a level 5 guy and be like, haha, I won. It's not fair.
Unless you get relegated.
Unless you get relegated.
Well, let me continue with that is like that, and follow the way up to nationals, Arnold, pro, whatever we're talking about. It's like you kind of work your way up. But then once you get to that, once you are at that level, you don't get to stay at that level forever unless you earn it. Right? Like if you don't stay at that regional level or you don't do a regional meet or you don't qualify for the national level, you would after like maybe a certain amount of time get relegated back down. So now you can do state championships again and like compete for the state championship and like have to earn your way back up. I actually like that idea a lot. Again, I'm not sure what the best way to do it is like across the board, but that way, like I said, you get someone, I always use Stephanie as my example since I've been coaching her for so long. And, she's one of the top lifters in the country. Like she's not doing states this year. She's generally away this weekend. Not for St. Patty's Day for her father. If she went, like she's in the 67.5 class, like right now, she would be ranked first this weekend or next weekend by like pretty well over 100 kilos. And I almost feel like that's not fair for her to be able to come in and win the state championship at that level because she's above that. She's a national level competitor. I think state should be, you should kind of be competing at the highest level your ability allows. So if you're strong enough to be at a state championship, then you're competing against other people like in your kind of realm. And that someone that's, 100 kilos ahead of you at nationals doesn't come down and get to wipe the floor with you. I still think they can come down and compete as a guest because that's fun to see other people, to see big numbers. But I'd like to see that more kind of focused on like the higher level. But it also gets a little bit weird because like, how do you fit the schedule in? Where do people compete? I think that, and sometimes like the local meets just make more sense for people. That's why they want to do them. But I think that's where, like I said, the guest status comes in. Your total still counts, still qualifies you for a national level if you do states. But you're not like competing for the state championship, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then if you took a year off, you get relegated back down. Or if you bomb out, you get relegated back down. Or if you don't do that next level meet because you just did it, you did it just to kind of like almost like show off, but not actually try to move up the ladder, then you get relegated back down.
Or if you bomb out, you get banned from the Federation and can never compete.
There's gotta be consequences. I saw someone the other day, it was like, if you bomb out of raw meat, you get a 5-year ban. sorry, Yili. It was about him. It was targeted at him, and he took it well. I don't know. Like I said, there's things I think that can make the sport more interesting. I think one of the big interesting things for a lot, like we posted today about, do you watch powerlifting meets if your friends aren't competing? And I think the primary thing was like people were looking for competition. Like you're not watching a local meet with no competition. You're watching for, and the big lifts aren't even, to me, I don't think it's like the fact, I don't care how big the lift is. I care more about like, is there going to be a battle? You know, like I don't want to watch the Celtics beat the Warriors by 80. Like I want to see it down to the wire and like, you know, see someone pull up for the winner at the buzzer. And it's the same kind of thing. I want to see someone come up for that last deadlift and load something that like maybe is going to be difficult, but they're going to go for it. I think that's more cool than watching necessarily a big number. You know, like I said, I'm more excited to see these 100-kilo guys change places a whole bunch of times than necessarily see like someone like Josh pull mid-sevens. I mean, it's cool to pull mid-sevens because don't get me wrong, I can't do that shit. But like, I would rather see him pull less to jump place than to just pull a number just for the sake of pulling a number. You know, he competed recently in our gym a few months ago, and I think he attempted like 733 as his third. But like it didn't have the same effect because he was already in first place. And like, if he missed it, he still was in first place. But like at this meet, like if he misses, he might be in third place, but he could pull for the win. I want to see that. I think that's the cool part of all this. And it's trying to figure out a way across the board to make sure you can get more competition. And I'm also not sure DOTS is the way to do that.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. I think having the weight classes is important. DOTS is fine for some of these pro meets because, like, how do you compare all these pros to each other? But I think it gets weird when you're like, you know, a 75-kilo guy totaling some big ass number, and then some 140 plus guy totaling some huge number, but the 75 guy wins on DOTS.
It's not.
I get it, but it's not the same. It's like I want to see the 140 plus go against a 140 plus and have a battle. And there was a couple people that I've talked to recently that are doing this meet that if they changed weight classes, they would be almost guaranteed a gold medal. You know, if they either cut a few pounds or gained a few pounds, they could like get a gold medal up or down. And they were like, no, I'd rather compete and come in third and have a battle than like win first without trying. And I think that's what I was trying to build by having the bigger qualifier. And some people would argue with me this wasn't a huge qualifier. The men was like a 365 DOTS, but 365 at a local meet, like I said, if that's the minimum, and we've got a whole bunch of guys going well over four, like this is a very strong meet. Like this is gonna, like I bet you the raw challenge at the Arnold is not that much stronger across the board than this Saturday is next Saturday. And that's cool. That's what I want more often. And like I said, like local meets, they are what they are. Like we're going to run a bunch and I want everyone to come out and I want everyone to compete with themselves and get better and enjoy the sport. But I'm hoping that we can have that stepping stone to have actual competition and learn how to like compete and not just learn how to lift. If that makes sense.
I think we should implement a fourth lift. Right, if someone comes out and it's squats like 425, you're like, you know what, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna try to lift one more time than you. You can either put it on the floor now, you know, try to go up, or I can come back fourth lift, easy peasy, more competition, more lifts. I'm a goddamn genius sometimes. All right, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
How about we just do arm wrestling at the end of the meet? Everyone lifts, and then your total, saying. Then your total doesn't even matter. Just whoever wins the arm wrestling contest.
Exactly. That's
fourth lift is your choice. You get to throw down. All right, we're tied. I get to pick what the next lift is, and it could be anything. It could be a one arm dumbbell curl, just max.
Pistol squats.
Pistol squats with pistols and fighting.
I want to try to build a strict curl platform. And see if we can do a strict curl competition.
I mean, wasn't there powerlifting competitions that had the curl as part of it?
Yeah.
Strict curl
is still a thing. There's still a couple feds that really like that do it. I know Jen Thompson's done a bunch of them recently. It's just cool. I mean, it's not hard to, you know, it shouldn't take that long. It's three lifts, three attempts. I mean, the heavy lifts are only like in the hundreds. Like at a local meet, you're probably not having a whole bunch of guys curl 200 pounds. I mean, the world records get wild. But like at a local meet, like what's someone curling? Like maybe a red per side is going to be like a lot. But just something extra to compete in, because I think competition is good for a lot of things.
Just for people listening, we've Connecticut State Championships, March 15th, 16th, 17th, Gleason Portage Raven, show up. We're done talking about that. Back to this. What if we had competitions where you get to elect like a team, like me, I'll squat, Brian can bench for me, and then we'll get like Tim to deadlift.
So
and, like, let's compete that way.
We should talk about some of this shit off air first.
A team sport.
So no, like one of the things that I've looked into doing, we did this kind of half-assed a few years ago. We did our Heartbreakers meet where you're allowed to kind of like have a men's women's team together. I've talked about doing something like that again, where like your dots is your average dots. Because that one gets a little bit hard with the total, especially depending unless the weight classes are the same. You'd have to almost like build out new weight classes, which is a little bit weird. And you would still have like the individual normal meet, but then you could have a different total to be like who won the team meet. But I've also talked about doing like either an all men's, all women's, or like a mixed team where you would have like, yeah, you basically would, everyone would compete full meet for the day. So you get your total for the day and everything, but your three people, you get to, and you have to pick beforehand. You don't get to just pick whoever does best. Beforehand, you nominate who's going to be your squat, who's going to be your bench, who's going to be your deadlift, and that becomes your total. And you go up against other people. Now, again, the weird thing is like, how do you score it appropriately? Like, do you have, like, for it, would it have to be three guys in your weight class against three other guys in your weight class? Because now we're going to have a hard time getting people to compete. Where if we did like the average weight and then did your total, you could do a dots from that. So if you had 140 guy and 120 guy and 100 kilo guy, you just, okay, well, the average is 120. You totaled 800. Here's your dot score. I think there's lots of things that we can do. I don't know how to do most of them, but there's lots of ideas that I think could make things more fun. It's just like, how do we do it so it's not just a clusterfuck?
Backyard baseball rules. Coaches line up, all athletes line up, and the coaches have a minute on the clock. They start selecting. You go first, then that person, then this person. Next thing you know, you have your team. That's how you got to do it. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that meet's coming up July 4th, because God bless America.